You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined by Spike Friedman. We're still reeling after the loss. Seahawks Twitter and everybody on social media still is too. But today we're going to try to be the voice of reason. We're going to be the calm voices that everybody needs. And it was actually Spike's idea, so he's going to really lead this movement.
Yeah, I want to be clear. Not necessarily the voice of reason. Panic might be rational in this moment. I don't know. I don't care. Calm. We're going to be the voice of calm. We're going to breathe deeply together. We're going to meditate. We're going to just come to accept the Seahawks as they are, breathe them into ourselves, breathe them back out, and just love life and live life together with love and life and living and calm.
This sounds like Bob Ross doing a podcast, and I completely love it.
Yeah, I mean, look, sometimes you lose football games. Sometimes you commit 174 penalties for 3,692 yards. Sometimes you miss 100 field goals. Sometimes you're winning a football game and then you're losing it. That's life. And you got to stay calm, even if you really don't want to. Even if all you want to do is freak out, you got to stay calm. Calm.
Even if the Seahawks injury report comes out and there's two rows of DNPs. They needed two rows to put out the DNPs today.
Yeah. But am I panicking? Just because Earl Thomas, Sheldon Richardson did practice, but Cam Chancellor didn't. Jeremy Lane, Richard Sherman, Jermaine Ifedi. Who else? There are a lot of people
on there. DJ Alexander.
DJ Alexander. Trey Madden might be out for the year. A lot of guys. I'm staying calm. I'm staying cool. I'm staying collected. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to freak out, guys. We're staying calm today. Together, we're going to do this. We're going to stay calm. We're going to talk about who's going to make a big impact on Thursday against Arizona. We're not going to freak out.
Yeah, and I think this is a good segue to an impact player that might really make his first impact of the season. And we see with the Trey Madden injury is deemed as a serious calf injury, so he's definitely out this week and out the rest of the year, possibly going on the IR.
Potential. We don't know that for sure. We don't know that for sure. But the way Pete was talking about it, wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
So I think a possible call-up from the practice squad might be Mike Davis. And he's a guy that a lot of people liked on Seahawks Twitter. He had a great preseason. He ran the ball well. He showed enough speed, enough shiftiness. He broke some tackles, caught the ball well out of the backfield. And so it might be nice to have an infusion of different running back talent other than the guys who really couldn't get it going all season. I mean, Thomas Rawls had his best game of the season last week against Washington. So I think Mike Davis could come up and really make an impact and really be a bright spot against a Cardinals team that isn't doing too well this season.
I love the potential of Mike Davis coming up. You know, we've got Dwayne Brown at left tackle now. The left side of the offensive line looks competent. Dare I say league average? Dare I say it on from like center through left tackle?
I will go as far to say decent.
Decent. Okay, so yeah, league average maybe a little high. Ethan's still a young guy, but I think they could be league average on the left side of that line. And you bring up a guy, you know, we saw it with Chris Carson. We've seen what Alex Collins is doing in Baltimore. You get the right guy, you open up a couple holes for him, and you get someone who's sudden through those holes, which, you know, Eddie Lacy looked okay, but he's obviously injured. He might miss this week. He's a power guy. He's not going to be sudden. Thomas Rawls, sudden, but weird sudden. He doesn't have that great vision. He gets his yardage through being quick and then like running over guys, which is weird and not sustainable and not the sort of like every down back type of player that you really want. It's possible Mike Davis is that guy. I want to see it. I want to live that life of like maybe we got that guy again. really, I just want Chris Carson back, but you don't always get what you want, but that's okay. That's okay. Maybe Mike Davis is the guy that we want. Maybe Mike Davis is the player of our dreams. Maybe they re-sign Marcel Reis, and, you know, he uses his receiving ability. Either way, maybe we just get some more screen passes and some more opportunities for motion out of the backfield, which is something the Seahawks have not done nearly enough of this year. It's a league-wide trend. It's been effective given all the rules as they currently stand, given all the tendencies for defenses to either bring in that money backer and or, you know, like blitz hard. Like all the defensive tendencies are allowing screen passes and motion out of the backfield to exploit big holes. We've seen it in Los Angeles. We've seen it in Kansas City. Maybe Seattle can become that team with Mike Davis or Marcel Reese. Let's live that life. Let's dream together. Let's people.
Visualize it.
Visualize it. Picture it in your minds. Picture Daryl Bevel watching the Chiefs and going, I'm going to steal some of that.
That's what we need. Pete is always optimistic. And always. I think that our fans, while every moment the sky is falling,
yeah.
I think maybe we need to take from our head coach and really learn from him. And I think that
I will say this press conference he gave on Monday was about the most subdued and depressed I've seen Pete in a long time. But that's because Pete cares about execution.
Right.
That's because Pete's entire program is about execution. And those are the sort of things he's insulted that they haven't been cleaned up yet. He takes that personally. But me, as a guy who doesn't have to take it personally, I can just go, hey, we're 5-3. We should be 6-2 with a bunch of guys who can't even execute. Imagine if they start executing. Think about it. You pair our talent with even competent execution? Oh, my word. Can you imagine? Grant, can you imagine the joy?
I'm taking my own advice, and I'm visualizing it. I'm visualizing wins over tough teams like the Eagles and Rams. Like I said, this team might be, you know, fighting for the top spot on paper as, you know, the most talented team in the NFC. And so if the talented players start executing and living up to that talent, then I think all our worries will be calmed and we'll get back up to that Pete Carroll level of excitement and enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And everything will be great. And in 1 second, I will have another player, maybe at the running back position, that can also make an impact this Thursday versus the Arizona Cardinals.
Ooh.
All right, so we're back, and I think possibly I'm not going to get my hopes up, but I am optimistic that CJ Procise may be able to suit up for the Seahawks on Thursday. It's not given. It's not a given.
Nope.
But he was. He was the only full participant that was marked on the Seahawks practice report that had an injury history. So that bodes well for him, and I will be cautiously optimistic with CJ.
And I won't, but that's fine. I mean, I will believe it's sort of the reverse of how people have been talking about Ezekiel Elliott dealing with his suspension, and it's like this guy should be out. And yet every week he suits up. With Procise, it's like every week he should be up, and then he's not suiting up. And I don't mean to minimize what Ezekiel Elliott did and compare it to spraining your ankle. What Ezekiel Elliott did, by all accounts, is terrible, and he should be serving a suspension already. But just in terms of the rhythm of reading the news around the guy, like, I will believe Ezekiel Elliott is suspended when he is on the sideline in sweatpants. And I will believe CJ Procise is going to play a full game at the 0-0-0 of the fourth quarter of a Seahawks game, and he's on the field. Ideally, he's behind Russell Wilson, kneeling the ball, or even better, Austin Davis, because we're winning by 40. You know what I mean? Let's visualize that. Let's get there together.
And Seattle, when they go to Arizona, they have a tendency to put some points on the board, except for that infamous tie. I think Seattle's fared well in the Russell Wilson era, besides that season opener in his first year. But at the same time, CJ Procise, when he's on the field and healthy, can be a dynamic option, but really availability is the biggest thing for him. and he needs to step onto the field to at least make an impact.
Well, and he's another guy who can provide that versatility, you know, creates options for pre-snap movement, the sort of thing where, especially against a defense as both complicated and injury riddled as Arizona's, he's the sort of guy who, by motioning him out of the backfield, you can sort of give Russell Wilson the opportunity to see through the complication of the Arizona defense with that motion, and also get advantageous mismatches because they don't have the guys right now. Obviously, they've got some really good players on that defense still. And Peterson, I mean, Matthew hasn't been as good as he has been in the past, but he's still a good player. But they're down Marcus Golden. They're down a bunch of guys who left in free agency, Calais Campbell, the other safety whose name I'm blanking on. I'm not going to freak out about that because I'm staying calm. And we're able to get the sort of mismatches we want. We're able to give Russell Wilson the opportunity to see the coverages as they line up. And you got a guy like Procise in there, and he's a guy who can beat a linebacker. And if Russell Wilson can identify the Procise is on a linebacker and he's got him beat, boom, that's an explosive play, baby. Visualize it. See it in your mind.
That's 35-plus yards.
35.
I'm going as far to say as more than the average explosive play.
Yeah, I was thinking 22 yards. Grant's taking 35. Picture it in yourself. Find the explosive play in your heart and let it soak into you.
Like
bread and milk becoming a panade, if you will. I don't know why I made that. I don't know what's happening.
You know what? It's okay because you know, we're mellow, we're calm, and we're going to let the explosive plays materialize in our mind, and we're going to visualize them. We're going to visualize the explosive. Ooh, explosive. I'm getting angry. I'm thinking of Jermaine Ifedi. I'm thinking of his terrible play on Sunday. Oh my gosh, I'm thinking of him having a finger injury and not being able to practice. And that leads me to my theory.
Oh, okay, drop your theory, but I'm going to calm you down after, but drop your theory.
That leads me to my theory that Pete Carroll, he was fed up with Jermaine Ifedi. Like all of the fans, fed up with Jermaine Ifedi. And Pete Carroll was sick of the holding. And so he sent a couple wise guys to Jermaine Ifedi's house and took care of the fingers to teach him a lesson.
Yeah, but Grant, think about it.
Calm me down. I need to step off this ledge.
I already tweeted this at you, but man, if he's got broken fingers, it's going to be harder for him to hold. You know what I mean?
Pusa.
So that's good. I actually, and this is a crazy tangent to bring up, but I interviewed the survivor of a chimpanzee attack for Men's Health. And this guy was like incredibly inspiring. And it's actually a piece that's going up today as people are listening to this. And he was like talking about how like he recovered from this chimpanzee attack through like physical fitness. And he, in the attack, he lost most of his fingers, and he is now doing full body pull-ups, unassisted pull-ups, even though he has like 3.5 fingers, which to me is like the craziest. Like, I have to be in really good shape to be able to do any pull-ups with all of my fingers. Like, this dude is doing, I'm like, man, it was like one of those things where I was like, doing an interview, and I was like, I gotta pause right now to be like, this is incredible. You're able to do pull-ups? Man. So anyway, that is to say that even if Jermaine Ifedi's fingers are broken, he still might overcome the odds and find a way to hold. But like, hopefully he doesn't. And also, man, that was a really inspiring story, talking to that chimpanzee attack survivor.
That got really inspiring, really fast.
Yeah, let's stay inspired.
And I now I'm visualizing Pete Carroll sending a couple wise monkeys to Jermaine Ifedi's house.
No, Grant, don't.
I spun it the wrong way.
Russell Wilson feeling too much pressure from the right and bailing on the pocket too early, he can help Jermaine Ifedi out by hanging tough against an Arizona pass rush that is down to one real pass rusher. Hopefully, we can just keep Chandler Jones out of the backfield, or you know, just move the pocket away from him. Again, it's a one, they have a one man wrecking crew on a defensive line as opposed to two or three, which with our offensive line, which is now again average on one side of the field, that gives us the capacity to not have everything go down the tubes. So, you know, again, I'm staying optimistic. I can't believe that Ifedi will commit as many holding penalties again. He has like as many this year as Walter Jones did in 8 years.
I'm pretty sure like he had that in just a game.
Yeah. Like, no, for real. Like Walter Jones, if you take out like his rookie year and his final year, it's something he had like three holding penalties. Like Ifedi's got seven this year, including one that was declined. Maybe eight. Like, oh, God. But again, Husa, we were going to believe in him. We're going to believe in the opportunity for growth. And you know what? What?
I'm going to remain optimistic in the Seahawks drafting process. Twitter user Will Hayes tweeted at us, "Once upon a time, we drafted Walter Jones and Steve Hutchinson. Maybe that's all the good first round linemen we get in a lifetime. But I'd like to think that there's still some talent out there for us."
Yeah, and I'll say this. I'll say Russell Okung was fine, and he helped us get to a Super Bowl and two Super Bowls.
Max Unger was good.
Max Unger wasn't a first rounder.
I know, but I'm saying like there's talent in the draft.
Yeah, yeah.
And it will find the Seahawks, because you know what? We're gonna visualize it. We're gonna speak it into existence.
Yeah.
And we're gonna speak about some other stuff shortly after this.
Welcome back to Locked On Seahawks. I'm Spike Friedman alongside Grant Goldberg, and we are trying to keep everybody calm and cool. Tough week, short week, and it was a tough weekend for Blair Walsh, but this is the opportunity. You know, every week is an opportunity, and this is the opportunity for the ultimate redemption narrative for Blair Walsh, because we're not just going to play anybody. We're going to play Arizona. And when you play Arizona, you flash back to Steven Hauschka missing field goals. But you know who doesn't have that issue? Blair Walsh. He doesn't have an issue with Arizona. He has an issue with Seattle and weird weather. But Arizona, he's good to go, baby. So
we're in a dome.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, why not? Why not have a great week? Why not think Blair Walsh full redemption? Are you with me, Grant? Or are you against me?
No, I'm fully on Team Redemption with Blair Walsh. Because you know what? Like you said, it's a short week. So let's forget that game.
Yeah, forget it.
It's a short turnaround.
Breathe,
it's a short flight to
breathe
Arizona.
Breathe Blair Walsh into your lungs and exhale him and allow him to dissolve into the vapor of your life.
Exhale as you're putting that foot on the football and you're pushing it through the uprights. That's what Blair Walsh is going to do this Thursday.
Yeah.
He's going to put that foot on the football, exhale, be calm, collected. He's been there before. He's made field goals before.
He has.
And he's going to take that three missed field goals. He's going to use it as motivation.
Yeah.
And he's going to visualize himself making these field goals in Arizona. And you know what's going to happen? Spike,
what?
He's going to make these field goals.
Oh yeah. Oh, man, I'm looking over this injury report. Man, Tyler Lockett is on there? I didn't know that. Ode Ibushi? Oh, boy.
You know what, Spike?
Jimmy
it's okay
Graham?
Because, hey, if Tyler Lockett can't go, then that means the Seahawks are most likely taking a knee in the end zone.
Great. Oh, great point. And if Jimmy Graham doesn't go, no one gets to complain about Jimmy Graham. And if Ode Ibushi doesn't go, that's, that's just preparing me for, you know, I can visualize Luke Jokel filling in for him. Now, it will actually be Mark Lewinsky. That's maybe not the sort of thing that's going to keep my heart rate at, like, a healthy level. But I can pretend that Mark Lewinsky is Luke Jokel, and we actually have our first choice offensive line altogether, you know?
And you know what? It can motivate you. It could be a little bit of training for you to stay calm in stressful situations.
Yeah,
and that might be what Mark Lewinsky has to do. Maybe he gets a little riled up. Maybe he gets a little, you know, too fired up during the game and commits penalties and, you know, jumps and commits a false start. So maybe he's got to calm down and mellow out, Maybe he's got to listen to this podcast. Yeah. Listen to our voice soothe him and prepare him for this game against the Arizona Cardinals this Thursday.
Yeah, and you know what else is going to keep me calm? They don't have their starting quarterback or their best pass rusher. Like, we're talking about being down these guys, and if Earl doesn't play, that's obviously a huge one. But they, again, like Washington, are pretty injury ravaged. So if we clean up the mistakes, and again, we're staying calm and encouraging everyone to do that, this could be a fun one, you know? We could have a fun one.
You know what? I think going up against Adrian Peterson, who's having a little bit of a career renaissance at age 56.
Sort of a reconnaissance, but for Peterson, a Petersonaissance.
There we go.
I needed to work my way to it.
But we're facing an Adrian Peterson who had a career-high 37 carries last week.
So crazy.
On a short turnaround. And so maybe he's feeling the effects of Sunday's game.
Yeah.
And we don't really have a full-strength Adrian Peterson. A full-strength, 86 years old Adrian Peterson.
And you know what we do have a full-strength of? Bobby Wagner. Exactly.
You know what? We're calm, we're mellow, and we're on the same page.
Yeah, and you know who I think is probably calm most of the time? Like, we have a lot of guys on our team who get hyped. And I actually, in talking, I learned recently that actually someone who's very calm is Cam Chancellor, but that's not who I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Bobby Wagner. That's a guy who stays calm. That's a guy who keeps his head in the game. When do you see Bobby Wagner make a dumb play or get out of his lane or get a penalty? He doesn't do it. I love Bobby Wagner. I kind of want to marry Bobby Wagner. I don't want to marry Bobby Wagner. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, I do. Like, I want him to, like, be a big part of my life forever. Like, I don't need to marry him. There's got to be another way to do it. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, what if I could? But, like, I shouldn't. But, like, maybe, you know? Like, I'm trying to keep cool, man. Bobby Wagner's great. That's my
Spike,
point.
Spike, I'm going to calm you down.
Thank you.
An opportunity. I mean, we can be best friends
with
Bobby Wagner.
That's better.
We can be very good friends. We can hang out a lot. But I think that in a point in everyone's life, they're open to at least marrying Bobby Wagner. I think that it's something that you should at least consider.
You should take that into consideration. You should mull it over.
Amongst the roaring waves that is the Seahawks defense,
yeah,
Bobby Wagner remains calm, and he just navigates through those rough waters and makes plays.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm thankful for Bobby Wagner. He's a great player, and he has untapped potential at running back, but I'm going to stay calm if he doesn't get any carries this week. Because you know why? He's a great linebacker. Some would even say the best linebacker on the planet.
I would probably say that this year. Man, this is sort of off the point, but like, I don't believe in Carolina. I don't know why. They're like when we ran through all the NFC contenders yesterday, I intentionally left them out because I do not believe in that team. I don't think they're very good. And I say that having, like, for whatever reason, only really watched their offense, I guess because I was interested to see what they did with McCaffrey, and it's like fine. Like, what they're doing with McCaffrey is fine, but it's not transcendent. Which is all to say, I have not watched Luke Kuechly that closely this year, but I cannot imagine that he's doing as much as Bobby Wagner is doing. And if he is good on him, and good for him. And you know what? He's already had his overrated year. So if Bobby Wagner has to be the overrated one this year, that's fine. I'm ready to live that life. I'm ready to stump for Bobby Wagner in the face of truth and reality. I don't care anymore. And that's what unconditional love is all about. And if it's, there we go.
I think as good as Luke Kuechly has been during his career, I think being able to stay on the field plays a little bit of a part in that. And he has a bit of a concussion issue. And Bobby Wagner has been pretty healthy in his career in Seattle.
He's had some muscle. So look, I don't want to hold Luke Kuechly's concussions against him.
Right.
I don't want to do that. And so I'm not going to. I'm just going to say Bobby Wagner's great. I love him unconditionally. He should, we talked Hall of Famers earlier this year. And if Bobby Wagner keeps playing like this year, to me that tilts him over that 50% mark for whether he gets in. You know, I'm not saying he's a surefire guy, but he right now playing at this level with everything he's already done in his career, he's starting to really make that case. And it's exciting and it's fun to watch and it's keeping the Seahawks in games, shutting down opposing running backs. It's hitting the quarterback every now and then. It's staying disciplined, committed to the program. I mean, right now, he is, I mean, it's tough to say with Earl Thomas still on the roster, but Earl's been hurt on and off, you know? Right now, Bobby Wagner is the heart of that Seattle defense, and it's awesome. And I love him. And I love him. I can say it. I can say it out loud.
There, that's really most of the process, being able to come to say it out loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we all love and appreciate Bobby. Yeah. And we love you guys, and you guys reciprocate that love a lot, and you can do it in a 5-star review on iTunes.
We've been getting some lovely ones. Kim, who's also down here in Los Angeles. We got Phil Edry, who I know a little bit from Seattle, from my time in Seattle. He's telling Grant to turn up his mic. Mike, hopefully Grant did that. He tried. We want you to know out there in podcast land that Grant experimented with his settings today. And if it didn't work, hit us up in the DMs. They're open. They're wide open for complaints about the sound quality on this podcast.
And you know what? I take criticisms. And I think this was just friendly advice. And I appreciate it. And we all appreciate you guys chipping in and giving your 2 cents. We appreciate
also,
good or bad.
Also, at Bird Kitchen was happy that we were so sad yesterday and yesterday's podcast, and I appreciate that because sometimes you got to have catharsis. And you know, there's a lot of theatrical theory. I'm not going to get into it. I've got a degree in theater. There's a lot of theories around whether or not catharsis is good or bad political. Look, that isn't the point. Sometimes you need it, sometimes you want it. We're glad to help you get there.
Yeah, if anything, leaving a 5-star review with your Twitter handle in it will get you a shout out on this show, because we do read the reviews and we do give you guys love back. And so,
and we're hoping it's going to get someone a PFF Edge membership.
Right. You can get access to all the numbers. And that's not all you get access to. If you get those numbers, you can correct us. You get the ability to tell us when we're wrong.
Yeah. And here's something else. There are promos playing through here. We were told when we started this up, I'm just going to pull the veil down. Just going to pull the veil
down.
There you go. Hey.
Take us behind the curtain.
They told us, hey, if you guys want to track down some local advertisers, you should do it and get them on Locked On Seahawks. So I'm just going to say this right now. If you are the really good Vietnamese restaurant that I liked when I lived up in Seattle, that's now a chain, one of which is on 12th Avenue in the Central District, one of which is in South Lake Union. I think there's also one in New Village. You know, think about becoming a sponsor. You guys are great. If you are the owner of a pizza place that opened on Capitol Hill and you used to run a different pizza place that's in Ballard, and I don't know if you're running both now, I know that this particular person has had an interesting relationship with his very famous blogger, restaurateur wife, but he runs 2 great pizza places. If he wants those pizza places to get advertised on this podcast or any other restaurant, I mean, I'd love for it to be one of my favorite restaurants in Seattle. But if it's a terrible restaurant, like the pizza place across the street from that pizza place, we'd love to promote your product, even though I just said it was terrible. You know what pizza place you are. You've got a weird neon sign and you sell bad, or not neon, it's like LEDs and you sell bad pizza. So maybe not you guys, but like any of those other pizza places, the ones that are just okay, get on the Locked On Seahawks podcast network. Get on that train. We love you. We love your pizza. I'm just a big fan of pizza. I'm a big fan of staying calm with pizza.
All right. I think that's a good time to end it. We all love pizza. We all love the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be great. Like a fresh pepperoni pizza, thin crust.
Or in the case of the pizza place I really like, they do both a really great thin crust, but at one of their locations, they do a great grandma style thick crust. They do a pan pizza. It's out of this world. Sometimes it comes out a little crunchy for my taste, but when they nail it, it's the best pizza in the city. But I'm not going to say the name of that place. But if you guys are pizza fanatics, you know what I'm talking about. And you know about the place I'm talking about across the street from there, and you shouldn't eat there, Capitol Hill. You know what's up. Y'all know what's up. What's up, Seattle? I lived in you for a long, long time. I know all the pizza stuff. I was up like a couple weeks ago, ate a lot of pizza. Just hop in my DMs and talk pizza with me. This is a cry for help.
Right.
But we'll I'm staying calm. I'm staying calm, Graham.
We'll stay calm. We'll open up the Locked On Seahawks DMs just for pizza / restaurant potential ad sales.
Or you can just come to Ad Spike Friedman. You know what I mean? You don't have to get Grant involved in this. Or do whatever, whatever, whatever. The important thing is Seahawks win on Thursday. Everybody eats a good slice.
There you go. For Locked On Seahawks, I'm Grant Goldberg, who's reading reviews about turning up his mic and then speaking in an NPR voice for the rest of the podcast.
And I'm Spike Friedman, speaking in an NPR voice, even though everyone can hear me fine. And it's been great. And tomorrow, we're going to get real excited, preview the heck out of this Arizona game. We're going to turn this calm into a forward, positive energy, high energy Pete Carroll style. Let's get after it. Who's with me? Go Seahawks. Locked On Seahawks.